All right, we got another one of our like texts with that opening. All right. Hey, good morning, everybody. I hope you're having a great morning. We are in week three of our vision series. What's next? Let's dream just a little bit bigger. And so far, we've talked about the fact that as a church, our goal, our desire, our vision is to connect the disconnected. And we've paired that with our vision as a church that we've had for close to 20 years. And so it looks like this. An effective and influential church, let's go ahead and put that up. Being an effective and influential church means we need to connect the disconnected. And so we talked about that week one, what that looks like. The people that are living in our community that are disconnected and looking for a place, looking for people to connect with. And then last week, we talked about making it personal. That a lot of times we think, yeah, the church should do that. But then we never realize that we are the church. We're what makes the church the church. It's not a building. It's not a place. It's not even an idea. It's people gathering together. In fact, the very word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia. That's a fun word to say, by the way. Ekklesia. Say it with me. Ekklesia. It's just a kind of fun word to say. But anyways, ekklesia, it just means the gathering. So really, the church doesn't happen unless the people gather. And so we talked about the fact that we personally need to make that our goal to be able to connect with other people. And that starts with those four spiritual habits of worshiping fully, serving regularly, giving generously, and then the last one, which for some reason my brain just lost it. What was the last one? Gosh, inviting continually. That's it. There we go. You're like, hey, you should have written that down. See, I trust my brain way too much. I get way too into the worship and forget what I'm going to say. So inviting continually, those four things. So as we begin this day, we're going to talk about what our strategy as a church is going to be like as a system, right? Working together. How are we going to do that? How are we going to help people go from disconnected and far from God all the way over to here to connected and growing with God? You know, when I first got into full-time ministry, and that was close to, well, it was actually, yeah, 30 years ago now, I had this idea. You ever, those of you that hire people fresh out of college, you ever met the idealistic people that are like, oh, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this. That was me. I'm not going to realize that was me. And I could tell you exactly how that process was going to go. This is how it's going to go. First of all, someone's going to get invited to church by somebody, but it's going to probably be an event. It's going to probably be something that's not a church event. And they're going to come to that, and they're going to look around and like, wow, these people aren't as weird as I thought they were. And then they're going to go, well, maybe I'm interested in that. That person that invited them to the event. Then that person said, hey, you know what? You should come to church with me. And they like maybe resisted for a little bit. But then they came to church and like, wow, this isn't as weird as I thought it was going to be. You know, this weird's a lot to do with this. And so they come and then they start coming back a couple more times. And then a few weeks in, they get saved. We're like, wow, that's fantastic. And then a few months later, they realize that the next step after salvation is baptism. And they go public with their faith and they get baptized. And we celebrate. We're so excited. And then after they get baptized, we're like, okay, the next step is to get connected to the church, right? You want to become a ministry partner. And so we're going to do this Connect workshop and it's going to be great. And they're going to come and they're going to enjoy that, and they're going to be a part of that. And then after that, they're going to go, well, you know what? Now that I'm connected and I'm a part, I should probably serve. And so then they go, okay, I'm going to serve. I'll find some place to serve. Where should I serve? And then they're like, you know what? I really like these people. I should get involved in a small group because small groups are fantastic. That's where you grow your deep relationships. And so you come to a small group, and then we go, look, now they are connected and growing with God. Isn't that the wonderful, pristine, easy process? In 30 years of doing this, I have never seen one person do it that way. Never once. Because here's the truth. Our spiritual path is as different as the people that we are. It just is. We literally, we have people that have been a part of friendship for more than 5 years, and they still have not gotten to the point where they're like, hey, you know what? I want to be a ministry partner. We have people, and I'm not kidding. This has happened more than once. They come for the first time. They've never been in church before in their life. They don't know Jesus, but they come and they meet you crazy people. And they're like, these people are cool. I had a guy waving to me as I drove into the parking lot. That's better than Walmart. And then I came in and they took care of my kids and it was great. And like literally they finished their first service and they go, where can I serve? And we're like, well, let's see, you probably don't need to know Jesus to pour coffee. How about that? And we start there and we'll get you plugged in there, because literally everybody's process is different. And so we've not come up with this like 27-point plan. We're going to move from here to there and all these different things. Instead, it's like, okay, we're going to kind of look at this as three groups, right? People are in one of three groups when it comes to their process of connecting with God. And we're going to talk about those groups in a little bit, but I want to take just a little bit further step back, because I think we need to answer the question, is that even supposed to be what we're supposed to be doing? Because to be quite honest with you, I know some of you that have been, you're like, hey, Friendship is my church. This is where I, you know, got saved. This is where I got baptized. This is all I've ever known. This is going to seem really strange to you. But there are more than a handful of churches out there that would say that the church is really only about Christians. That's what it's all about. It's not supposed to think about other people. It's just supposed to focus on growing Christians and making them grown-up disciples of Jesus Christ, and that's what it's about. And people get saved, or people come to know Jesus, outside really of that Sunday morning time period, and then they come because the church and the church service, that's just for the saved. So I think it's important to answer the question, if we really are supposed to do that, and if we're supposed to do that, how in the world do we do that? How do we move them from disconnected and far from God to connected and growing in Christ? How do we do that? Let me just share with you a couple of passages. You're like, why do you as a church believe this way? And I'll just share with you two passages, and they're really, really simple passages. The first one is Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Let me set the context for you. If you have a YouVersion open, you can find it there. You can follow along on your notes as well. It's going to be on the screen too. If you have a Bible, you can look it up. It's the very first book in the New Testament, at the very end of that first book, Matthew chapter 28. So the context is Jesus has been resurrected for 40 days up to this point in time. And the Bible says that during that 40 days, he basically was seen by hundreds of thousands of people. He had conversations, but one of the conversations that he had on a regular basis was with his disciples. Because he kept saying, the entire ministry, listen, guys, it's going to fall on your shoulders when I'm gone. It's going to fall on your shoulders when you're gone. They didn't get it. Until Jesus died, they're like, oh, he meant that. Like, we're the ones responsible to make this thing that he's calling the church actually become reality. And so during that 40-day period, he's teaching, he's like, this is what you need to do. This is how you're going to do it. This is what the next step is. And then he says, listen, I'm getting ready to go. And they're like, where are you going to go? And he's like, just wait. So they go up to the top of this mountain called the Mount of Olives, and he begins to talk to them about things. And this is when the Bible says that he ascends into heaven. I love it, because it's not here in this passage, but if we kept reading, it would be. Like, he ascends up into heaven, all the disciples are like going, because let's be honest, that's what we would do, right? And then a couple angels show up and go, why are you guys looking into heaven? Get busy. Do what he says you're supposed to do. So I want to read what he says right before his feet leave the earth. Matthew chapter 28, right? Last words, those are pretty important. He says this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority. If it's not underlined on your notes, underline it, circle it, highlight it. That's very important. Jesus says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. There is no other authority that can be given except for what I already have. So because I have all authority, I'm going to tell you to do something. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus' last words, some of it, were this. God the Father has given me all authority again. He laid some of it aside while he was on earth. He is now fully 100% vested in all the things that he would do as God the Son, right? He says, so now I'm telling you, based upon my authority, this is your job. Go. Go and make disciples. Well, how can someone become a disciple before they know Jesus Christ? So the first step is getting people to move from disconnected and far from God to knowing God. That's the first step. And then we're going to look in the book of Acts chapter 1. And this is, again, part of the same conversation that Jesus had that's recorded in Acts, but it wasn't recorded in Matthew. And he says this, "But you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So let's put these two things together. Jesus Christ says, "I have been given all authority. So because I have been given all authority, I'm going to tell you and I'm going to give you the responsibility. You, the church, you have the responsibility to go and make disciples." And here's the thing. Not only have I given you the authority and the responsibility to do it, but when you accept Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. So therefore, now you have the power or the ability to actually carry that out. So the very reason, let me just put this as simple as possible for us as individuals. Once you accept Jesus Christ, once you say yes to Jesus being the Lord of your life and all those different things, that point in time, all your sins have been forgiven and paid for, right? We believe that. The Bible teaches that. Why at that point in time wouldn't it be better to immediately go to heaven right then? Right? You ever thought about that? I'd like to get saved and immediately go to heaven because I don't have to deal with anybody else. I don't have to worry about screwing up. I don't have to worry about falling back. I don't have to worry about dealing with all this stuff. I should just go to heaven right now and be done with it and deal with it and over with it and I'm done. The only reason that we are left here is so that we can grow in our faith and reach others for Jesus. That's the only thing that we cannot do in heaven that we can do here. That's it. So we are left here, but we are given the authority, the responsibility, and the power. So that's the big idea for today. We have the authority, we have the responsibility, and we have the power to connect the disconnected. The question for us is not if we're going to do this, or do we or can we have the ability to do this. Jesus made it crystal clear that it is our responsibility and that through him we have access to the power needed to actually accomplish the task. The only question is how? How are we going to do this? You're like, there could be 17,000 different ways. I agree with you. There could be 17,000 different ways. And like I told you earlier, I had in my mind, this is the process. This is how it's supposed to go. And people kept jumping out of the process. And like a good strategy-minded person, I thought to myself, why can't they just follow the process? Those of you that are process-oriented people, you get that. You're like, people, you're messing everything up. Cut it out. But we realize, hey, you know what? People move at different speeds in different parts of their life. And different speeds within different parts of their life. And so we get that. So here's what we're doing instead. We're looking at three specific groups, and it's going to be kind of three different parts of the same whole to help people move from disconnected and far from God to connected and growing with Christ. The first grouping, and I'll just do it so we can see it kind of visually in our minds. The first grouping is the community. Now, those of you that are sitting there going, well, what's the community? Okay, we may need to talk. So the community is just everybody, right? It's just the whole group. So when you walk outside, when you go to Kroger or Meijer or Aldi's or wherever you go and you see people milling around, that's the community. When you're driving through the town and you're behind somebody that really loves their brakes, that's the community. When you're connecting with people in your neighborhood, that's your community. You are surrounded by the community. Jesus Christ literally says, we are to be in this world, but not of this world. We are to be immersed with the community around us, but we're not to adopt their behaviors. Instead, we're to live, as we talked about last week, we're to live such good lives and in such a right way that other people see us and go, I want what you have. That is our witness. That's why we do what we do. And so that's what the community is. And then the second group is the crowd. Like, what's the crowd? Okay, do me a favor. Look to your right. Look to your left. That's the crowd, all right? You're like, no, that's the church. No, it's not. Do you know why we know it's not the church? Because every single Sunday we have people that have been followers of Jesus Christ since they were like one day old, right? Like they haven't, but they accepted Christ when they were little, but their first Sunday, like my first Sunday of birth, I was in church. That is the way I grew up. Anyone else like that? Like you were born and you were in church the next day. Like that's just the way that it was. That's what happened. And so you grew up in church. But we also have people every single week that this is their first day ever going to church. So we can't call that the church because it's a whole wide group of people. And that's why we don't go, you know what, let's talk about the ecclesiastical separation, the doctrine of this and that. You know, we're going to teach stuff that the Word of God teaches to help you understand to grow in your walk with Jesus Christ. That's the crowd. So you're all the crowd. And then the last one, of course, it has to start with a C, right? Because I love alliterating things. It's the church. That's the people who are connected to Jesus Christ. They know Jesus Christ, and they are growing in their walk with Jesus Christ. So we've got the community, right? We've got the crowd, and we've got the church. Those are our three groupings. So this morning, I want you to ask yourself, where are you? Which one of those three groups are you really in? Because if you're in the community, we love that you became part of the crowd today. We love that you're here. We want you to come back. In fact, I'm going to be real honest with you. If this is your first time at Friendship, it took a lot to come, didn't it? Do you remember the first time you went to church? I'm a pastor. I grew up in church. When we're on vacation or we go someplace for the first time, it terrifies me to walk in the doors. I have no idea what I'm going to be greeted with. I've been greeted with all sorts of weird stuff. I've walked into churches of 10,000 and felt right at home, and I've walked into churches of 15 and felt like I was a leper. Because it's all different. You have no idea what you're going to run into. And so we're thankful that you're here today. And way to be brave. Well done. Maybe you're a part of the crowd, but you're like, you know what? I've been a part of the crowd for a long time. Maybe I need to move to the next level, and I need to recognize that I need to take some steps in my own life to really be the church that God has called me to be. But each of these groups, we're going to like work with differently, okay? Because it looks differently. So the first thing we're going to do is with the community. And what our desire is as a church is to help people go from disconnected and far from God to connected and growing in Christ is we need to engage with our community. We need to engage with our community. And each one of these things, I've got a little phrase that we're going to say to help us kind of understand. And here's the phrase. You ready? We want them to know we're here. That's important, isn't it? It's important for people to actually know you exist. You're like, what? There's a church there? I just thought that was a building sitting there randomly all by itself. We want people to know that we're here. But you know what? We don't want just people to know we're here because there are a lot of places that you know exist, but you would never walk into because you're like, I wish that place would close. So we want people to know we're here. And then we also want people to actually be happy that we're here. We want them to actually go, wow, you know what? We love this place, this Friendship Church here, and we know that they're there, and we're happy that they're there. We like that they're a part of our community. Do you know that that's really an important thing for the church, to actually be liked and appreciated and add value to their community? And then the last one is this. We want them to know we're here. We want them to be happy that we're here, and we want them to be better off because we're here. Now, I want to read a passage of Scripture for you, and let me just give you a little bit of context before we jump into it. It's the book of Acts, chapter 5. But if you read the book of Acts, you really kind of have to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John first, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. And you know what Jesus Christ would do? When he would walk into a town, the very first thing he would do is he would start healing people. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I can heal people because I cannot. If you go, Dave, will you slap me on the forehead? I'll slap you on the forehead, but it may only give you whiplash. I'm just being real honest with you here, okay? But Jesus would heal people. And then you know what would happen? Once people realized that there was something of value there, they started to collect. And the minute that they collected, a crowd showed up. And you know what Jesus would do with crowds? He would teach them. He would teach them about who God is. He'd teach them about what they're supposed to be as followers of God. He would talk about who he is. He would teach them in stories. He would use parables. He would use illustrations. And he would get a larger and larger crowd as he would do that. And the disciples did the same thing. So Jesus leaves earth. He leaves the disciples in charge. He says, hey, you guys, you're it. If this thing's going to happen, it's going to be because of you guys and on your shoulders, so make sure that you do it. So the disciples, they do that. God gives them the power to be able to heal people, and they start doing that. And it's amazing. People start flocking to them and to the church and to that to be able to experience that. But the minute that that happens, the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the priests of the temple, their people start getting stolen from them, so they start attacking the church, and they start arresting people and putting them in jail and interrogating all this stuff. And so the people of Jerusalem are like, well, I don't really want to be associated with them. But even though they didn't want to be associated with them, they still kept bringing people to them because they wanted that value of being healed. So look at this, Acts chapter 5. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. That's a part of the temple. And no one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought their sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. They're like, this is so amazing. We just want Peter's, like, shadow to go over them because I think that might heal, or maybe little drops of sweat. I don't know, anything, because this is an amazing thing. They have changed things that are going on in our community. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those that were tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Do you think that statement that we made, that they knew they were there? They were happy that they were there, and they were better off if they were there, is shown to be truthful here. You see, listen, I'm not saying we're going to go around and heal people, because that's up to God. That's not in us, right? But the reality is that if we're going to be the type of church that engages our community, they need to know we're here. They need to be happy that we're here, and they need to actually be better off because we're here. Second thing, let's deal with the crowd, you guys. What are you doing here this morning? Don't answer that. Okay. But I want to tell you, what we want to do with the crowd is we want to inspire the crowd. Now, I want you to notice that word. In fact, circle that word inspire, because it's really, really, really important. It's very different, right, than motivate. Motivate is external. In other words, think about it this way. This is how I think about it, okay? Think about a Marine drill sergeant. I don't know if any of you were in the Marines. Some of you I know serve. I don't know if you're in the Marines. But think about a Marine drill sergeant getting nose to nose with a recruit and screaming in his face and calling him a sand flea and a maggot and all these other things. Maybe they can't say that anymore. I don't know. But getting in their face and telling him, if you don't do 100 push-ups, then you're going to run 5 miles with a full pack and sand in your shorts. You know, I mean, they're really getting into it. And that motivates them to do it. But here's the thing. When the drill sergeant disappears, what happens to the motivation? Boo! Our desire is not to motivate you to change. Our desire is to inspire you. Inspiration isn't external, it's internal. That's why our desire is when y'all come and we teach the Word of God and we lead music, there's something inside you that stirs, because that stays with you wherever you go. Notice what it says in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. The Apostle Paul hits this nail on the head with this. He says, do not conform. External pressure pushing you into a mold. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. That's an inside out. By the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, the problem is that most places, most religious entities, it's all about motivation and confirmation. And the problem is, the minute that you get disconnected with that, what happens? It all falls apart. So we look at it and we say, hey, our desire is to inspire those of you that come on Sunday morning. Inspire you to change. There's two parts of it. The first part is this. By creating experiences that cause people to say, I'm so glad that I came, and I can't wait to come back. So when you come and you're like, yeah, okay, cool. I enjoyed this more than I thought, which I hear that all the time, and I'm not sure exactly how to take that, right? I enjoyed this more than I thought. I saw you online. I wasn't really impressed, but I enjoyed this more than I thought. Inspiring people to want to come back, because we know the more that they come back and the more that they connect, the more that they're going to hear the truth of the Word of God, and the more they're going to be changed. The second part of it is to craft practical and relevant messages that pique spiritual curiosity and deepen spiritual understanding. You see, that's a thing that we have to do, because we talked about it, the crowd, right? You've got people, it's their first time in church, and people that have been in church their entire lives. How do you teach where it allows both to actually grow? Well, you teach practical truths that come from the Word of God, that no matter whether you know Jesus or don't know Jesus, you know you can put those things into practice in your life. But if you know Jesus, it actually deepens your desire and your walk with Jesus Christ to cause you to become more like Jesus Christ, to become the men and women that God has called you to be. So that's what we want to do on Sundays, or if we have services on different days. We want to inspire the crowd. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And I love this particular verse, this next verse. A deep sense of awe fell over the people. A deep sense of awe came over them. And the disciples and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. That's why we use that word inspire. Not that I get done preaching, you're like, oh, wow, Dave. No. Not that they get done playing, you're like, oh my goodness. What amazing vocals and what amazing guitar solos. And if we ever let drum solos for Don. What amazing. No, because our goal every single time we gather here isn't to point to us. It's to point to God. Because we know the bigger view of God you get, the more in awe of him you'll be. That's what we want to do on Sunday mornings. When you leave here going, man, what an awesome God we have, because we do. Last one, the church. So we want to engage the community, right? We want them to know we're here, be happy we're here, be better off that we're here. We want to inspire the crowd with services that draw them closer to God, with teaching that help them become more like who God has called them to be. And then the church. Those of you that are here today, that you've accepted Jesus Christ, you're a ministry partner here with Friendship Church, you're like, hey, I'm here, I want to grow, I want to be who God has called me to be. What are we going to do with you? We're going to equip you. We're going to equip you. Because we need to turn you loose. Because that's what God's called us to do, to grow you up, equip you, challenge you, and then turn you loose. So here we go, equip the church. What does that look like? James 1, 22. And by the way, I love it whenever we use this verse. I love it because this verse has been kind of a touchstone, capstone verse for Friendship that predates me. Those of you that ever saw, I don't know if you did or not, but there was literally, it was in stone in the side of the building before we redid everything, James 1:22. You're like, what is James 1:22? Well, James 1:22 is one of the most powerful verses for people that go, I want to know more about Jesus, but I don't want to actually do the things that are necessary to be a follower of Jesus. You ever met somebody like that? They had a whole lot of information, but it never changed how they lived. They're the same today as they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. There's no transformation taking place. And can I tell you something? If there's no transformation taking place, then there's no transformation that has happened, because the Bible says that if you know Jesus, transformation will begin to happen. James 1:22 says this, do not merely listen to the word. And I love this second part, because it says, do not merely listen to the word, because what happens if you merely listen to the word? You what? You deceive yourselves. You become filled with knowledge, but no action. You become the cranky Christian. Praise Jesus. You've got all the spiritual language and maybe 17 different spiritual bumper stickers, but you still honk and flip people off that make you mad. But you have all the information, but no change. James says, listen, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Instead, do what it says. You see, here at Friendship, we believe that the Bible is the truth of the Word of God. It is literally the words of God put on paper through men that God inspired to lay it out for us, to show us not only who God was and what God's like, but it shows us as Christians how we are supposed to live our lives. We are to live our lives in honor of Jesus Christ. And so therefore, as the Apostle Paul says, as he's writing to the church, I think it's at Colossians, it may be Ephesians, but it says, listen, take all malice and anger and frustration and irritation and all these things that are part of your life on a normal basis to start getting that crap out of you, because that does not show you who you are in Christ. And so that is the transformation that God expects from us if we are the church. And so what we do with this group of people is we equip you. We equip you to become spiritually deeper, financially stable, and relationally satisfied. If you've been at Friendship for a while, you're like, oh, that sounds familiar. We say it all the time. Because our goal is to help you become spiritually deeper, financially stable, and relationally satisfied. You're like, why, Dave? Why do you care about that? This is a church. Why shouldn't the church just be focused on the spiritual stuff and leave the other stuff up to us? If you know Jesus, it's all spiritual stuff. Because he doesn't just transform your attitude, but your actions and your behavior and your relationships, your finances when you handle them well. So this is what we do. You go, well, why these three things? You say, okay, spiritual, financial, and relational. Why in the world would you do this? Well, here's what we did. We looked at everything that Jesus taught. And do you know that all except for maybe a couple of outliers, everything Jesus taught hit one of those three things? It was either teaching people how to know God better, the spiritual side, or teaching people how to handle their finances, their material possessions in a way that honors God, or how to deal with other people. Those are the three areas that Jesus taught about. So if Jesus taught about it and it was good enough for Jesus, guess what? It's good enough for us, right? And so that's what we do. We're to teach these three things to help people grow and experience spiritual change, financial change, relational change. So we have a church have wrapped our entire process around this. In fact, it's interesting, in the spiritually deeper, we have workshops that we teach that help you understand the Old Testament in its context, help you understand the life of Jesus Christ and how he lived, help you understand the revelation and end times so that you can kind of put the Bible in context and be able to understand what's being taught there. When it comes to financially, we teach usually at least once a year on finances and how to handle that. We also have a workshop called More Than Money Workshop where we teach about that. And we actually have Financial Peace University that we encourage you to go in, because we know that finances are deeply connected to your spiritual walk and to your relationship. It actually connects both those two things. One of the number one or number two reasons every single year that people get divorced, finances. And we believe that marriage is something that is honored by God and God desires, and we want to help people be able to do that. And the last one, relationally satisfied. Well, we can't make that happen. We can't fix the people around you, but just for a moment, if you have trouble in every relationship in your life, you may be the issue. Just something to think about. But our desire is to help you in your marriage relationship, help you in your relationship with other people, help you in your relationship with your kids. That's why we do marriage series once every 18 months, parenting series once every 18 months. We do all sorts of different things that are supposed to help and teach you how to be able to do those things, because we believe that you are the church, and if you are equipped to actually be the church, then it actually makes a difference, not only in your life, but as we talked about last week, in the lives of those around you who want to know Jesus Christ. So that's the process. Engage the community. What's that one? Remember this? Remember it? Look on your notes. It's right there. Inspire. You're like, come on, man. This is not hard. Okay, so we're going to, what's the first one? We're going to engage the community. There you go. That's it. So this morning, I want to leave you with a question. Let's put this last one up here. Let's go ahead and put the... Yep, sorry. My bad. Where are you? No. Not where are you. I know where you are. Okay. My bad. We have one more verse, and I really threw Jessica off there, so that's all my fault. Ephesians chapter 4. You're like, why do you do this? Okay, sorry. My apologies. See, I get excited. I get ahead of myself. It just happens. Those of you are like, do you really have? Yes, I really do have ADD and struggle staying on task sometimes. Ephesians chapter 4. This is important because if you're not grounded and equipped in your faith, you get off course and distracted really easily. More so than I do when I'm preaching. Listen to this verse, Ephesians chapter 4. Then you will no longer be immature children. You won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. You will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. You ever known someone that took the step of faith to accept Jesus Christ, and then it's like their life just went off the deep end? And they bought into stuff that wasn't even lined up with Scripture. You're like, why do you, what in the world? It's because they never grew in their faith. That's why we believe this last part is so important to do, because it's not about you becoming constantly dependent upon what we do on Sunday mornings. It's about enabling you so that you can grow independently and become all that God's called you to be. So the big idea again, we have the authority and the responsibility and the power to connect the disconnected. But then, our last slide here. Now that we're to this point. See, I get ahead of myself. Where are you? Be honest with yourself. Where are you? What is it going to take to get you to the next level? Maybe you consider yourself as part of the community and you're like, hey, I came this morning, but I'm not really taking that next step to be engaged and a part of what's going on here at Friendship and being a part of the crowd on a regular basis and consistently connected in that way. Or maybe you've been a part of the crowd for years. You're like, man, I need to take that next step. I need to be engaged. So if you're part of the community, you say, that's where I am. Can I invite you to become part of the crowd? In fact, if you really want to make it fun, call it the in crowd. You can be part of the in crowd. You're like, I was never a part of the in crowd in high school. Well, now you can be. All you got to do is show up on Sundays. Because we want you here, because we want to be able to inspire you to be able to make those changes. If you've been a part of the crowd for a while, you're like, you know what? I encourage you to take the next step. I invite you to take the next step and get connected on a deeper level with the people around you and become a part of the church. And if you're already part of that, if you're like, hey, I've been a part of it for a while, I'm growing in my relationship with Christ, then there's a different invitation for you. Because your responsibility now changes. It's not all about you anymore. Because you're a grown-up person. And now the responsibility falls on your shoulders to be an inviter and to engage in your community. Who are the people in your sphere of influence that need to know Jesus Christ? Who are the people that you need to go, hey, why don't you come hang out with me? I'd love for you to come and just experience what it's like, just to engage with what's going on. Who are you going to bring? Because that's the process of discipleship. You bring someone along with you. So this morning, as you're looking at that, not only ask yourself, where are you? But what's your next step? Because we all move at different speeds. We all move at different levels. And here's the key. Just keep moving. Just keep moving. And as you move closer with God, you're going to grow more in your relationship with Jesus Christ and experience a deeper connection. Father God, we thank you so much. I know that today we went over a lot of details and strategy, and sometimes that's not as exciting. Sometimes that's not as memorable or interesting. But God, I pray that today as we went through some of these things, not only were we challenged individually to ask ourselves, where are we? But as we're challenged individually with a realization that we are the church and we have the authority and the responsibility and the power to help those that are disconnected find connection in you. But God, also to be honest with ourselves and ask if we've maybe been stagnant for a while. We've kind of been hanging out in the same spot, just kind of doing the same things. And there's not been that step, that movement forward. We've kind of allowed our relationship with you to get cool. Maybe not cold, maybe not disconnected, but cool. So God, this morning I pray that that ember within us, that your Holy Spirit this morning would just kind of fan that flame. And not only would there be a passion and an excitement to see it happen church-wide, but God, there'd be a desire and a personal accountability and a personal responsibility to begin moving again ourselves. Because God, as we move closer to you, we know you more. We're connected with you more. And we're moving closer to the men and the women that you've called us to be. So God, if there's one thing that we remember from today, let it be the word move. Because we want to move with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's